That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to The New Next, a podcast that addresses current events and how they will impact the future.
We could go down a rabbit hole here, but we're computers ourselves, right? But there's like an element beyond it. So, I mean, we are computers. We're synthesis of all our memories and information that have come into us, you know, our past, clouds, our future. And then we also inherit biological genes. So it's a mixture of memory and our hard drive, which kind of built into us. And then you right. think about that, it's like, are we even, you know, like the whole world is a simulation. Like, I don't really, like, maybe. There's, well, it is. Like, you know, it's whether you look at it or not, like, we're a synthesis of all these different parts. You know, just like an automobile, you have a self-driving automobile, you have cameras on the front, and that's our vision that hooks into our central brain. We have a nervous system, which is kind of like the wires that fires between it. And if there's ever any sort of issues in it, then it breaks down. So it's just I feel like I can probably like, you know, swayed on pretty much anything, but the fact that we're in it, well, like if, you know, there's better information, I'm open to it. But when it comes to the fact that from a core definitional sense that we're in a simulation, we may disagree with how the simulation looks and how it factors in. But when you plant a seed in a ground, it's a simulation. It's going to go through a process of growing or dying based on its essentially genetic code and variables that are thrown in. So, I don't know.
I'm going to have to look. I don't think simulation is the right word. That might be why I'm even... So, this is just dictionary.com, Oxford. Sorry, not dictionary.com, Oxford Dictionary. Imitation of a situation or process. The action of pretending or deception, the production of a computer model or something, especially for the purpose of study. And that might be what you're intending as well. I believed in the multiverse before Neil deGrasse Tyson basically said that there's scientific evidence for the multiverse. And then based on his scientific reasoning, I start going, well, maybe there's not a multiverse after all. Because he's doing a lot of conjecture and a lot of speculation. And Baudelaire wrote in like 1980, he said that everything is a simulation. And he was the first one to kind of really write that down and get famous for it. I can accept that that's a possibility. I don't see enough evidence yet to state that we are in a simulation. And I don't know how you can prove to a program that's being studied that they are in a simulation one way or the other. It's just a theory that can't be proven one way or the other.
Well, like, so computers have BIOS, it's basic input output system. Mm-hmm. People are a BIOS itself. It's a biological input-output system. So, you know, it's basically running energy through something, taking energy, turning it into something else. And, right. like, it's, you know, you look at, like, the effect that the moon has on the tides and how that has on the precipitation cycle. And, I mean, like, even, you know, it just, the more I've gone into it, the more I'm just like, it's a natural simulation, or what I believe is natural, but it's essentially the same thing that I'm simulating on my computers, but a more tangible thing where, you know, if someone says that we're about to get hit with a nuclear bomb, it may be total BS, but I'm going to take that into my basic or biological input output device and input that information and then make a decision based on it.
Yeah, it's a very sexy theory. It's a sexy philosophy.
The multiverse or the simulation?
Simulate, well, both of them, but simulation specifically. Historically, we describe the world and we describe life based on what we have available to us to be able to describe it. So when computers, it just sounds funny to us now because of just how much power we have in these stupid things. But computers in the late 70s and early 80s, it was the first time you could have something sitting on your desk to do the same thing that NASA for years had been having room, like a huge room with these massive machines that could, you know, that make a 1.44 floppy disk seem to be the fastest thing in the world. I mean, comparatively. So when Baudelaire like writes up simulation and stuff, he's definitely using a lot of computer theory and stuff. And and there's the advances we've made in technology going in that direction. It makes it easier to go into that. I'm not saying it is or isn't true, because I don't think there's a way to prove that. But I think 50 years from now, there's going to be something else that we have a new insight on how to describe. And we've already kind of started that actually with multiverse, because that's, even though there's no evidence of multiverse whatsoever, it's a thing that sounds good. And it's really just a ripoff of, Spinoza. But a more scientific version of Spinoza.
Wasn't Spinoza killed for his beliefs too?
Probably, but it might have been for other beliefs as well.
Yeah.
The only thing that separates both Baudelaire and multiverse theories is that Spinoza said that we're in the best of worlds. So of all the infinite worlds that there are, we're in the best one because that's the one that we're living. So every time, and his kind of main, like to break it down, it was into like, if we make this choice, we kill the other world because we're, and so multiverse would just say that, no, there's a world where that choice is made differently. And both worlds are now acting simultaneously. With the simulation, it also would be like a computer. You can combine all these together and you can say like there's multiple computer programs working to see which is the best, existence kind of thing, based on all these choices that are being made and not made. But because there's so much data going in at once that, it can't be as instantaneous, as it would be in another situation.
Well, like just I've got AP up here and I opened it earlier, but I'm just looking at this and it's tens of thousands march to kick off climate summit demanding end to warming causing fossil fuels. That's, you know, hundreds of millions, if not billions of people that are highly activated, and it's entirely their action in the real world is entirely based on a simulation. Like they're simulating the end of the world based on data, but it's, you know, I think whether it's, I mean, like the nuclear warhead that I said is just, I don't know, like we should talk about this some other time and maybe we can do some philosophical pre-study on it.
Okay.
But
I would like to just say that one of the things, because Ralph Nader, and I'm not even saying this like in a negative way, because I was told this in a very negative way. There was a time in the 60s that he really pushed, like, the world was going to have a, we're going to freeze, like, we're going to go through a new ice age. And then in the 70s, he started pushing for climate control, global warming kind of stuff. And everybody's like, well, you said this last time, now you're saying this. And it, as we've seen, like, you know, we don't talk about the ozone layer in the same way we did in the late 80s and throughout the 90s. Like, you and I, when we hear aerosol, we have a reaction to it. Mm-hmm. My daughter, she hears aerosol. She has no idea. Like, okay, what's so bad about aerosol?
It's like 9/11 too.
Yeah. Though that one still has a little bit more of a punch still.
Well, but I'm just saying a lot of people don't even really understand anything about it. So,
And so one of the things that, like, and we've talked about this with car emissions, the world, we had to make drastic changes to car emissions, and we did. And it's completely changed. Like, that's actually one of the biggest reasons why ozone is not in the same danger as it was before, is we, car companies were motivated somehow, that, you know, they're motivated by money primarily than anything else, but financially they're like, cool, we'll make cars with better emissions. And so now we've reset the whole clock and stuff by like 100 years. I'm making up numbers, so I'm not pretending like these are actual numbers, but like something that we only had a 2 or 3 year time frame. I mean, I remember the specifics. All of a sudden, we're not even talking about it anymore because it's not important, or it's not pressing. And this is where a lot of these, this is the challenge I would give to simulation thinking, and we can go again more deeper, is it never can adequately predict how humans as a whole respond. And it can never, and it has yet to predict how, what actually motivates humans. So whenever we think it's purely financial, we go and surprise everybody and be like, no, we care about peace. And when we go, oh, okay, it's about peace. Nope, we want bloodshed. we're the most fickle animal out there. We never know what we want, which is, again, that's why we always don't know what we want to be when we grow up. That's why we don't know who our soulmate's supposed to be. Like, or do I even have a soul? You know, we have all these things. And this is where I would say is probably the best combat to a simulation thinking. It's not saying that things aren't simulated. It's just saying that they're having a really hard time understanding how we seem to be fickle. And it'd be really, and I know there's a way you can make the, add that data up and you can convert it and stuff, but
if you take it from a biological level, then we could all be our own independent simulations that interact together and have that input output mechanism and network.
Yeah. I mean, that Baudelaire talks a lot about that too. I mean, wow, I can't believe I'm saying this. This is 43-year-old information. Baudelaire goes into it, and he goes in better detail, I think, than most of the people who are talking about it now.
Yeah.
And I have a friend who's actually out in Hollywood who is completely convinced of this. So I've read a lot of the arguments for it. I haven't read as many arguments against it because most people don't even know who Baudelaire is, which makes it even funnier. But I feel like we so much want a sense of understanding how the world works and what our place is in it.
Yeah.
And so if we can describe it through The Secret, or we can describe it through Christianity, or we can describe it through simulation or multiverse, it gives us a feeling of comfort. And I think that ultimately, and it doesn't mean that any one of those things is wrong. Because maybe Christianity is right, or maybe The Secret is right, or maybe, or maybe there's some combination of all these things.
If you would like to learn more about the New Next podcast, find us at thenewnextpodcast.com, where you can suggest a topic you would like for us to cover. If you enjoyed what you heard, share the podcast, tell a friend about it, or rate us with 5 stars.